Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Exodus 15, Exodus 15 verses 21 to 27, Exodus 15 verses 21 to 27. As I said this morning, that we'll be over these next few sessions together, we'll be looking at going places with God. And this says the water of Marah and Elim. That's Exodus 15, 21 to 27. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Sur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask right now that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would enable us as your people to understand your word, that you would open it up for us, and you would speak directly to our hearts and souls and minds. That perhaps, dear Lord, that we've grown tired of your word. Make it new and bright and alive. Send your spirit. For we know, dear Lord, without your spirit, then the word brings death. But with your spirit, it brings life, excitement, joy, and a way of powerful living. If our minds have grown dull to your word, dear Lord, pour your spirit upon us right now so they would become alive, they would sparkle, and you would set off with inside of them. The doors would open because of the words that are said here this evening. And that, dear Lord, all this time with you would bring glory and honor to your name. For you are our God, and you desire us to be your people. We thank you and praise you, dear Lord, for the privilege of being able to receive our daily bread from you. And God's people said, amen. Well, thank you for inviting me for this day. It's a pleasure to be amongst you. It's been lovely and sunny all day, a bit cold, but it's been wonderful. And to share worship with you and praise has been a wonderful thing. Terry sends his apologies about this evening, but he says how much enthusiasm you give him, how excited he was to be amongst you. He said, "They're so passionate, aren't they, Chris?" He said, they're so enthusiastic. And we've been through many things over our time. He said, "I wish I could gain that enthusiasm, that excitement again in my life." So you've probably given us much more than perhaps we've given you this day. Let's turn to the Lord's word. I wonder what you need from the Lord. I don't know about you, but there are times when we need healing. We need to be cleansed. We went through a little of that this morning when we shared communion. But do you desire here this evening to be cleansed, to be healed? For that is what the Lord brings into our lives, so that he might commune with his people, that he would meet their desires, their needs in their lives, so that they might be blessed, they might be encouraged, they might be uplifted. For you see, the Lord doesn't want to see you on your knees because of your circumstances. Rather, he wishes to lift you up, for you are his children, and he rejoices in you. One of the things, if you read God's word, especially about the lost coin and the lost sheep and the prodigal son, what do we read in there? He says, "For every person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, then heaven erupts in praise and worship. They have a huge party." That's how important that you are as individuals. This is what he desires to do in your life. But do you desire the Lord in the same way? Do you, when we come together on a Sunday, do you feel it's like a large party in your life? For you have in communion together with the children of God in this setting, which is the house of God for this short while. That we are having communion together with Him, for He is our Lord and Master and King, and He formed you in His hand. He kept you in His hand, and He breathed life into you. Do you need healing this evening? Do you need cleansing? Do you need in your circumstances to be blessed by the Lord? The people of Israel were no different from us. If you think about back what we said this morning, while they were in Exodus, while they were in Egypt, while they were in captivity, they had hundreds of years of slavery, of being worked to death in pain and suffering, having their children taken away from them when they were small, and many of them murdered. Because of this, the people's mindset had changed. They couldn't understand freedom and what it would bring. They no longer understood what it meant. They had no value for themselves, for they had no freedom and pride in themselves. Do you feel like that here this evening? Have you pride in yourself? Because I've just described what God thinks of you, and if God thinks that of you, then you have importance. Not that we blow ourselves up, but because you are a child of God, because you are something precious. You know, God never creates ugliness. God only creates beauty. And much of the world tells us that, well, we're not good enough, we're ugly, we will never amount to anything. But God thinks so much more of you. He has created you, He has formed you, and you are not ugly, for you have beauty inside of you. You have a spirit which He has nurtured and grown, and He desires you to fulfill your potential as His children. That is who our God is. That is who He should be for your life. That is how important that you are. No matter what the world says about you, this is what God says about you. This is how important that you are to Him. But do you feel that importance? Remember what He did for His children. He rescued them. But the people could not understand this rescue. They couldn't make the right decisions. They needed a taskmaster behind them so they would make the decisions. And those Egyptians beat them. They pushed them into the right direction, for they then turned to the Lord and prayed to Him. Generation after generation had been indoctrinated into the culture of those Egyptians. They knew nothing else. They aspired for nothing else, apart from raising a prayer to God to save them from their predicament. It's likely that the prayer that they raised had no direction. It had no real purpose apart from two words, save us, save us. When God answered them, He raised someone up amongst them. Someone who was their own, who was called Moses. And Moses was placed in the middle of Pharaoh's family. He was brought up like Egyptian royalty. But God had to take him out of that situation and place him somewhere else so that he might be healed, he might be changed, he would grow into God so that God could minister to him, so that then Moses could minister to the people. Moses, if he'd stayed in the Pharaoh's family, perhaps would be lost to a carnal life. But because he was lifted out of that situation, so God could come in and cleanse him and wash him, and that the Egyptian could be washed from his system, he could then be used to deliver a people who were lost, who were enslaved, and had no freedom. The people of Israel needed this process also in their lives. We saw this morning how weak they were. 1.5 million people who were afraid of a few thousand men coming towards them. They could have swept them away, but they were terrified. Loved ones of God here this evening, are you terrified? Is there something in your life that terrifies you? Or do you have the power and freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have victory in your life? For this is what our God does amongst us. He places victory in your life. No matter what you face, whether it's death, sickness, illness, problems in your family, in your ministry, our God is such a great God, and He wishes to come under you and lift you up and say that you are His child. You are someone who's precious to Him and therefore to the world. The people of Israel needed a time of cleansing. God needed not weakness but strength. Not purposefulness, but a people with purpose. Moses was there to take them forward, but they needed desperately to be cleaned and healed of their enslavement and bitterness washed from their lives. As we know, if you read anything of the Old Testament, that the Israelites of that time complained bitterly. The people were feeling restless. They saw what God had done. But the people felt distraught. They were feeling restless. And they were beginning to feel bitter about the situation. At once they had a roof over their heads. Now they had a sky or just a tent. They had resources where they were. But now those resources were taken away and somehow they had to survive. The people of Israel had taken a supply of water with them into the desert when Moses was leading them. It's easy to take water with you, isn't it, for the day. I'm sure if you've been on a trip or if you've been gone somewhere abroad, then you have a bottle of water and you'll take it, you'll sip from it, and it sustained you. But to take water with you every day, say it's easy for one day, perhaps you'll take 3 litres, and it's not too heavy to carry. But for the following day, you need another 3 litres. For a week, you need 21 litres. And if you've ever tried to carry 21 litres of water, then it's a very difficult thing to do. But there was 1.5 million men in this camp that was being led forward. That amount of water needed was incredible. At least 3 million litres of water or more a day. And trying to organise the logistics of all that water just to supply the needs of people would be a nightmare. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. Then they came to Marah. They could not drink the water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. They had found water, but they were disappointed in it because they couldn't drink it. This can be like our life. When we first come to the Lord, when we get that first euphoria, we then look back on our life and the things that have happened to us, and it can form bitterness inside of us. Do you have bitterness inside of you here this evening? Or do you have someone around you who has that bitterness? Perhaps they don't see it themselves. That bitterness can so easily turn to anger, and then anger to hate because of their situation and circumstances. But what happens to those people when they come up to this water? Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord says, throw this wood into the water. And it becomes sweet. It becomes sweet. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it in, and it became sweet. Christ is represented in the Old Testament as that tree. When Christ came to his ultimate destination, which was a tree, he climbed upon it. He allowed himself to be sacrificed upon it. So your bitterness, that anger inside of you, that hate that perhaps lingers there, can be translated into something that's sweet. Sweet and that's wonderful to behold. Something that's refreshing rather than you turn away. And that is what Christ can do to your life. If you have anger or bitterness inside you because of a situation or what someone has done to you, why persist with that bitterness? Why persist in that anger or that hate? Allow Christ to come in and change that anger and hate from bitterness into sweetness. So that when somebody comes up to you and says hello, you can respond to them with the light of Christ in your eyes. And their response to you is, well, there's something different about that person. I know their circumstances. I can't understand why they're not angry, but rather your response is one of love because of what Christ has done in your life, because he loves you so much. The people of God had come to the end of their water supply. Their resources were exhausted, and they approached a river where they wanted to drink, but they couldn't because it was bitter. And because of that, then the people built up resentment. But God said, I will turn that bitter water into sweetness. And then I will make a decree. I will come amongst you, my people. And if you follow my examples, if you believe and act out my commands, then there'll be sweetness in your life. And I will not bring upon you the diseases that I did amongst the Egyptians. The people refreshed themselves. And they washed the bitterness away. The Lord made a decree. He tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, how carefully do you listen to the Lord's voice? Are you aware of it? Is it in your life? Or do you ignore it? Do you persist in doing that thing which the Lord says, please do not do that. Please do not be angry about that situation. Please stop that you do in your life, which you know destroys you, which takes you further away from me. Please stop hurting me. For haven't I healed all your hurts? Haven't I bandaged all your wounds? We forget and we fail to understand that God's love is infinite, and our capability of hurting him is much greater than the world can hurt us. The Lord made a decree. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Have you received your healing? Has it come into your life? You see, our God is a God who wants to heal. As Christians, we should be aware that we need to be healed, to be cleansed on a daily basis. What does God ask in return? To purely to do what Jesus would do. To walk with him, to be attentive to him. You know, many people say today, well, I wonder why the Lord perhaps isn't in power amongst his church. Isn't changing the world in which we live. When the people of God don't desire to be with him on one day a week, which he has ordained for that, then perhaps we get some idea of why the Lord isn't as work in his power that he should be in our land today. For we keep him at bay. One service is enough. One service, we don't need two. Yet, we ask the Lord to give us our day, our daily bread. How does the Lord feel? Oh, they only want to see me in the morning. They don't want to see me in the afternoon. They don't want to be with me. And if we like that on a Sunday, then what about the rest of the week with the Lord? The people of Israel grumbled and moaned all the time because they weren't having their desires met. While the Lord met their needs, they were angry at him because he didn't meet their desires. Our God is a God who blesses. Our God is prepared to heal us, to cleanse us every day if we have that sort of relationship with him. It has to be every day, for we know that as a people we fail. We struggle. We need the Lord. That's why he sent his Spirit to indwell your lives, to change you, to empower you. Christ knew that he had to ascend into heaven to send the power of his Spirit. For if he was here in physical form, there would be only a limited number of people he could interact with. But the Spirit is here 24/7. He is available to us no matter where we are, whether we're shopping, whether we're on a bus, whether we're driving a car, whether we're singing praise and worship to Him. Our Lord, the Holy Spirit, is available to us to enable us, to empower us, to have that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore God the Father. God provides to us victory, but how many of you want to grasp it and take it through His power? Few of us do. Few of us want to. Few of us want to spend the time. And that means our appearance is always tainted. We smell of failure. Our faith falters. The wrong thoughts enter our minds, and our deeds become things that we desire rather than what He desires. Our talk and walk becomes bitter, yet Christ has given us victory and freedom and is prepared to transform us. But do you want to be transformed? Do you want to go to ever greater and greater levels and heights? For remember, you will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ if you have chosen Him into your life. If you don't learn it here, you'll have to learn it there. You see, God is prepared to bless us through healing. God is prepared to bless us into our life, to free us from taint every day. And all we have to do is come before Him and with our hearts say, Lord, please forgive me. Please cleanse me. I no longer want to be like that place of Mara where the water was bitter. Rather, I wish to be someone who's sweet. Make me anew. Make me anew. Pour pure, clean water into my life. Water which is clean and flows across the land, which brings life and nourishment, which brings new life and power, which brings transformation and enriches. Are you God's people here this evening? Have you allowed yourself to be cleansed by God, and that you're purified from every taint, that you're starting your life, that you have a clean life, and that you have nourishment, and that you are pure and you are free, that there's no longer any bitterness or anger or hatred in your hearts and minds? For the Lord then can take you to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. If you desire to know God's healing, if you desire to know God's transformation, if you desire to be made anew, then step from that place, that Elim, where the Lord wishes to place you, so that you might be fed by streams of living water, so that you can be embraced by the Lord and you can embrace Him, so that you can be protected by the scorch of this world. That you would know the shade of the Lord's protection. You see, God doesn't desire you to be bitter, but rather God desires to see you with such great blessing. God never wishes you to be without resources. God wishes you to be His children, who embrace Him and encouraged by Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are gathered here. Perhaps someone here tonight has never really trusted You in this way. And I'd ask You, Lord, that You would minister to them. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight who wishes to go the next level with You. They wish to put the old stuff away that they've kept hold of. Dear Lord, I pray and would ask that You give them the courage to say, Lord, change me. Lord, heal me. Remove that bitterness from my life, that I might embrace You anew and in new power. Perhaps there's somebody here struggling for resources. Then why not reach out to the Lord? For He knows your needs. He knows what you require in your life. Ask of Him. Ask of Him, for He wishes to step down and lift you up from where you are, so that you might discover a new place with Him, so that you might be like those Israelites around living water, and that you are in a shelter which protects you from the world, so that you might grow strong And then you would become sweet to taste, sweet to see, sweet to speak. Not sickly, but sweet. So others would desire to know you more, so they might know the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is doing in your life. Bless these people, dear Lord. Encourage them. And let them know that you are their God. Let's share the Lord's Prayer with each other. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.